Katrina's parents, Katrina and I, we're all seated around an open-air table at a border town in Ghana. And for the last hour, we've been calmly discussing the next day's travel itinerary. Unexpectedly, our plans now included paying a bribe to illegally cross a border. And as it turns out, this would be our second illegal border crossing of the trip. And while the first one was planned and executed beautifully, the fatigue and frustration of the trip had reached a breaking point. My dad hastily got up from his chair, and suffice it to say, no one was prepared for what came next. But before I get to that, let's rewind a little bit. Our parents were visiting us at the halfway point of our Peace Corps service. And during the first 15 months in Togo, Katrina and I had adopted certain qualities that were ill-suited for a trip together. One cornerstone of being in the Peace Corps is living humbly and paying local prices. By now, I was fluent in charming local market women with my exaggerated gasps. while bargaining for a pile of tomatoes. But my social capital with market mamas didn't really carry over onto our trip. And my friendly banter quickly turned to open hostility as we were negotiating what seemed like small fortunes on account of our large group. The cultural exchange at the heart of Peace Corps' mission, largely overshadowed by our relentless haggling. And so for the first 3 weeks of the trip, as we traveled extensively through Burkina Faso, Benin, Togo, our parents had endured. But to end the trip, we were heading to Ghana. And Ghana was supposed to be easy. Ghana spoke English. Ghana had nice roads. Ghana had a beach resort that all you had to do was go from your cabana to the beach. No more 80s Astro Vans with no suspension. So there was hope after the first grueling weeks that Ghana would be the payoff. And you know what? Those couple days on the beach, we did okay. We woke up Christmas morning and we all swam in the ocean before opening presents. It was unique. It was special. But it was on the way back, as we were traveling to Togo, the capital of Togo, where our parents would fly out, that we got the news. In anticipation of the presidential election, Ghana had closed its borders. Now, when I heard closed borders, I assumed closed borders. And so, when we got to the border town, I took a security guard aside. I explained our dilemma, and he said that for a nifty $30 per head, he could arrange for a van to arrive at our hotel, bring us north of the city, shuttle us across the border in the bush. Our parents could catch a flight out of Lome. Thought this sounded great. It was this plan that we were calmly discussing, and my dad stood up and delivered these lines. Do you know what happens to people in third world prisons? They don't come out! And Tyr casts his gaze over towards Katrina's parents and points in our direction. I don't know about you guys, but I don't jive with their lifestyle. Now, Dad was poised for a grand exit, but he rolled his ankle swimming in the ocean a couple days earlier. So he slowly, defiantly, hobbled to his room for the night. Now, the next morning, in a true display of Midwestern manners, we didn't say anything about how the last night ended. We went ahead with the plan. That afternoon, the van arrived. I gave him some gas money. We all anxiously awaited with our bags packed. About 10 minutes later, I realized my folly. There'd be no van coming back. I'd just been swindled out of $20 of gas money. Right as that door closed, another door opened. My mom, who's good friends with a travel agent back in Iowa, she'd been keeping abreast of the situation. She informed us that they just lifted the $800 head per tax per head tax on foreign flights out of Ghana. And she'd switch their flights from Togo to Ghana. But the flights left that night. It was miraculous. But we had to boogie. So, go to the hotel, and I tell them to get the van taxi to arrive immediately. And when the van taxi arrives, it's not a van taxi. It is a sedan. And the brutal math was immediately apparent to me. One driver, four parents, luggage. There wouldn't be another square inch for Katrina or I to fit. And so, a rush of tears and frustration and hugs and exhaustion, said goodbye to our parents for another year. And then we sent them to the capital of a country on the eve of a presidential election. No cell phone, no way of communicating, a driver we didn't know. We went back to our rooms. We collapsed. We were defeated. And, you know, when I think back on that trip, sure, we were on foreign soil with its many challenges, but real foreign territory for me was the responsibility of being in charge of a family and the personal safety, their emotional security, was completely unprepared. And so I think having a few more years of lived experience before starting my own family was a good thing.